Things have changed in Oberlin over the years.
Well, and for women in general, I guess. The book is called Bonnets to Boardrooms, Women's Stories from a Historic College Town. We've got the editor, the woman who compiled this, Jeannie Vanek, who joins us to talk about this. How did this project come about, and where did you find all these women to share their stories?
Well, the project has been going on for many years. It actually started in 1979 with a small group, then it continued over the years. And in 2003, I sat on the board of the Oberlin Heritage Center and was really speaking very informally with Pat Murphy, the executive director of the Oberlin Heritage Center, and she said, gee, we have all of these interviews from women and from men and from others all sitting in a file cabinet, and we really want to do something with them. They've done some dramatic readings over the past, and she asked me if I could come up with an idea to get them out to the public. And so I reviewed the interviews and came up with a number of possible topics, including World War II, the 1960s, and the topic that I chose to write about were women. So that's what I did, and the book came out a couple of weeks ago, and I'm very proud of it.
Jeannie, were those original interviews that dated back 1979 or so, were they taken from notes, or was there actual audio recorded?
No, there were audio recordings. And so it took time to not only interview the people, but also to get those interviews transcribed.
I bet those, because of its audio, there's some more of a life that comes to it. You almost got to know these people through these recordings, I suppose.
I think I know these people through the writings and the transcriptions as well as from the recordings. It's a wonderful resource.
Now, you kind of focus on different kind of decades. Take us through some of those chapters and some of the differences and maybe even some of the common threads that really sort of connect these women together.
Well, let me start with the first chapter, which was really the beginning of the 20th century. And can I take this opportunity to read some of these?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Picture Oberlin at the beginning of the 20th century, as portrayed by longtime Oberlin resident Marvel Fields. I wasn't quite five at the turn of the century. I remember that very well because my father got me up at midnight and impressed on me that I should remember that I had lived in two centuries. They had fireworks and quite a display at midnight because it was 1900. The whistles blew and the bells rang, and they shot off fireworks and guns. Oberlin was a much smaller place then than it is now. There were so few people in the town that I knew everybody and where everybody lived. Florine Wooster described the streets of Oberlin during this period. South Main Street was a cinder block road with a base of mud, so when it rained hard, you could always depend on farmers being called out to bring their horse team to pull somebody out of the mud. Down where we lived, the big ruts were just right for us children to go and stand in our bare feet at the top of the rut and slip down to the bottom of it. I'm sure we fell in more than once. The lack of paved roads did not deter Oberlinians from their fascination with the automobile, and soon cars shared the road with horse-drawn buggies and bicycles. Mildred Chapin shared her excitement about learning to drive in the 1920s. I learned to drive a car when I was 13. I was driving the Essex home from Elyria one day. I was at the top of Hale Road Hill when I realized there was a wheel ahead of me going down the road. It beat me to the bottom, that's for sure. I had to get off the road, stop the wheel, go to a farmhouse, and call Oberlin for help. I always referred to that car as Napoleon Fall Apart.
I like the detail that's in a lot of these remembrances. It's good you talk to women, because I sometimes think women have a colorful way of understanding the times, and they have some really great memories. It's funny, though, that you talk about the turn of this, change of a century, and we just recently got to a new century as well, and not much has changed as far as
potholes remain.
Well, yeah, if you've been down Main Street, they're doing some work down that part of Overland near Tappan Square these days too. So ruts in the roads, not a lot has really changed. So we can see that we were all kind of dealing with some of the same situations.
Right. If you'd like, I can go jump to the 1940s.
You know, that would be a good idea, because I noticed in your notes that First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt made a stop there back in 1942.
Yes. I can read the quote from her. I mean, she didn't quote, but Pat Stetson's remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
But you remember that these were children sometimes during this era. So what they remember about Eleanor Roosevelt may not be the same thing that we would remember.
I think that's what that's what makes it so unique too, because, sometimes as a child there are those unique things that you remember that have nothing to do with what the major story is about, but that gives us a different insight that you wouldn't normally find in a history book.
Right. The college also brought dignitaries to town. For example, Eleanor Roosevelt was the keynote speaker at a multi-college conference on the role of youth in post-World War II planning in March of 1942. Patricia Stetson remembered her Girl Scout troop welcoming the First Lady. Eleanor Roosevelt came to Oberlin under the auspices of Oberlin College to speak at Finney Chapel. I had to get my first permanent because I was one of 7 Girl Scouts who were going to meet her. I went to Nellie's Barber's Beauty Salon, which was above the Apollo Theater. Each soon-to-be curl was wrapped, and then a long wire was extended above my head and connected to a huge machine that was plugged into a socket. After sitting there for an hour, someone unwrapped the curls. I ended up with a Shirley Temple-ish hairdo. I will never forget that all of this was because of Eleanor. We had to look our very best. We got our Girl Scout uniforms on and our speeches prepared, and we met her out in front of Finney Chapel. She had on a black silk hose. Her skirt was very long, sort of mid-calf length. She was very stately and tall. Since we were part of the group who met her, we sat in the front row of Finney Chapel. I remember looking up at those beautiful black shoes with huge silver buckles and pointed toes. I think I saw more of her shoes than I saw anything else.
You know, Jeannie, if Bruce and I were there, I don't think we would have noticed what kind of shoes she had or buckles or anything like that.
No, again, I'm telling you, that's
That's the perspective, isn't it?
Right.
Yes.
From a larger standpoint on this, what are some of the themes that you talk, because the title of this is Bonnets to Boardrooms. What kind of changes did you see over time, or what did they share, or did you see was there a point in these stories where you really noticed a transition taking place?
Well, the first chapters dealing early in the decade were about growing up. Then, as the book went on, there were changing attitudes towards marriage, career, and family life. And then the changing economic conditions of the 30s, and then the struggle for racial equalities in the 40s and 50s, the peace and feminist movements of the 60s and 70s, and then women's efforts to create a better community in the latter part of the century.
The book is called Bonnets to Boardrooms, Women's Stories from a Historic College Town. I suppose as an editor, the toughest part was deciding what to leave out.
It was very difficult, and I suspect that if someone else were to take this same topic with the same title, even, they may have selected, I mean, it would be a completely different book.
Right.
because these were the stories that appealed to me.
How long did it take you then to go through all of the recordings and kind of get it to a point where you thought, okay, I kind of have a theme, I kind of know which stories from different people I wanted to put together?
Well, it took about 5 years, about a rewrite a year. The first draft, of course, was just kind of deciding who to include and kind of what passages. The second draft included kind of pulling them together. I did a third draft that then went to the staff at the Oberlin Heritage Center, and they tweaked it so that it was chronologically and historically correct. And then even when it was in the layout phase at the very last year, there was still additions and subtractions in the whole compiled stories.
Well, as we talked, we just heard several of the stories, but you've got a recollection of 52 women, so there's a lot of different people with different perspectives on there. Any of those women get a chance? I don't know, you know, how old they were when these recordings are, if they're still with us on some of them. Have you had a chance to, have they got a chance to see how their project has kind of become a book form?
Yes, and it's been wonderful. There are still women. One of the women, Ellen Adams, is just turning 99, and she plays a part in the whole book. And the annual meeting of the Oberlin Heritage Center was last Wednesday, and one of the sons of one of the women was there, and we had a chance to chat. And I said, "Boy, your mother sounds like she was just such a wonderful person." And he said, "Oh, yes, she was one more wonderful than you would even imagine." So that was very heartwarming for me.
Now, this oral history project from the Oberlin Heritage Center, that's still an ongoing project?
It still is. They're still collecting interviews. They are still... still need volunteers for interviewing, for transcribing, and there's a very active committee of the Oberlin Heritage Center that's directing the whole project.
Our guest today has been Jeannie Vanek, the editor and compiler of the book Bonnets to Boardrooms, Women's Stories from a Historic College Town. It's available from the Heritage Center, and also at their website. You can go to oberlinheritagecenter.org. Jeannie, thanks for sharing time with us and sharing those wonderful stories. Appreciate
Thank
it very much.
Thank you so much.